This week is Parashas Mikates, Shabbos Chanukah. I want to begin with a short little observation I saw in the Sefer Limudei Nisan. Rabbi Maievsky, he got me into it by Alpert Tzvar. I have at home Sefer Limudei Nisan by Rabbi Nisan Alpert Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And he starts off the parasha with a short little observation. Why did the parasha begin with describing 2 years? Was that 2 years after Yosef interpreted the dreams for the Sar Hamashkim and the Sar Oifim, and Yosef begged the Sar Hamashkim to remember him, and the last word of the previous parasha said that the Sar Hamashkim forgot about Yosef, and now, 2 years later, Paro is choleim v'inei oimed al hayar. So we know that Chazal are critical against Yosef. Why did you have to say the word to remember twice? Why did you overdo the request to the Sar Hamashkim that you be remembered? You should have more faith in Hashem. On the level of Yosef at Tzaddik, he was expected to have more faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not overdo his Hishtadlus. So Rav Nissen Alpert says that how many days was he expecting to wait? 2 days. Because he said, "Be'od shloshes yomim," Yosef said to the Sar Hamashkim, that in 3 days from now, you're going to be called. And you're going to be restored. So that means 2 days, nothing's going to happen. I'm going to sit and wait it out 2 days. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to wait around. And then on day three, it's all going to be over. In other words, I only have to suffer 2 more days. Yosef was thrilled. Here we go. I'm in the dungeon with the Sar Hamashkim. He's also in a lot of trouble. He had a dream. I interpreted his dream, and I told him, "Don't worry, just sit it out for 2 more days. 2 more days. And the morning of the third day, Ashmeres HaBoker, 5 o'clock in the morning, the guards are going to wake you up, they're going to take you back, and they're going to put you back in your position. And what are you going to do at 6 o'clock in the morning when you serve breakfast to the king? You serve the king a glass of wine for breakfast. And you're going to tell the king, in the prison, in the dungeon, there's this great guy, his name is Yosef. Why don't you do me a favor, why don't you release him?" This is what Yosef was expecting. He only had to suffer it out for 2 days. On the morning of the third day, he was expecting to be released together with the Sar Hamashkim. But Yosef made a fatal mistake. He said to the Sar Hamashkim, "Remember me, remember me." He was a little too much hishtadlus. He persuaded him a little bit too much for his madrega. And therefore, Rav Nissen Alpert says, that's why the pasuk begins, "Vayhi miketz shenosayim yomim." That two didn't just say it was two years. It was yomim instead of 2 days. It was 2 years of days. There was poetic justice taking place. The question is, why this unusual nusach of yomim? Vayhi miketz shenosayim. It was at the end of 2 years. So the Pashtunim will tell, because they want to be medactic, that it's complete years. Don't have any lomdei shavod and say that it's partial years, like the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Arla. You only need one complete year, and a miksas shanakish. Yeah, 1 day of a year counts as a year. 30 days of a year counts as a year. That's what the Pashtunim say. The reason why it says shenosayim yomim, it means it was 2 complete years to the day. But al derech drush, Rabbi Nissen Alpert says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Yosef. Yosef, you thought you're only going to need to sit and wait for 2 days? You have to have faith in me, Hashem says. Have faith in me. If you're not going to have faith in me, then the days are going to turn into 2 years of days. So there's some type of hidden message that Hashem is speaking to Yosef with this expression of shenosayim yomim. Yomim are days multiplied by 2 years of days, not 2 simple days as you expected. Okay, that's one short of art. Now, just very quick part I want to throw out. It's made the Baal Shem Tov. Believe it or not, it's recorded that he used to write Kineas. Okay, normally the Hasidic Rebbes, they write Kameyas to Hasidic Rebbes, that's not their forte. You go to a Mekubal for a Kameya, for an amulet. So the Baal Shem Tov, it says he wrote Kameyas, and he never wrote in a Kameya the Shem Hashem. The Mekubalim, they have all different types of Shemos. The only Shem he would ever write in a Kameya is Yisrael. And he said that Shem refers to Hashem. Why? It comes from this week's parasha. After Yaakov Avinu realized he had no choice but to send down Binyamin to Mitzrayim in order to retrieve Shimon and to acquire food, he said, okay, Imkein Efo Zosasu, prepare a lavish gift and do this and do that. And now he said, there's only one thing that you're missing. The Kel Shakai Yitain Lochem Rachamim. Now it's a time to daven. He instructed them, you have to be mispalel and halavai Hashem she'omar dai le'olamoy. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, Hashem said dai, halavai Hashem should say dai, enough to my tzaros, that you should come back alive with your brother Shimon, everything should be okay. The expression, kel shakai yitain lochem rachamim, the first letters of that beautiful expression in this week's parasha are the same letters as the word Yisroel. Not in order, of course. Not in the same order, but it's a very powerful idea. It's a very powerful expression. Kel Shakai Yitain Lochem Rachamim. This was one of the first tzaros in the history of Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael is coming together to be mispala. They're all coming together now at this moment in time. Here there was a tzar. They sold their brother. We don't find that tzar. There were 12 children that were born. They were not when they met Esav, that was, they were coming to Esav. So Hatzleinam Yadochim Yad Esav. They all prepared. Yaakov was mispala, but here the collective Klal Yisrael coming together to be mispala and Esara L'chayre. This was the first time. They had a tzara. Shimon was a captive. There was a famine. They were going down to Mitzrayim. It was a shas sakana. Kel shaka yitain lochem rachamim. This is what the only thing that we're missing is tefillah. And these beautiful words spell the word Yisrael. This is the essence of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's essence is kel shaka yitain lochem rachamim. Interesting word. Kel shaka is the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create his world. That the Bria depends on the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, here's just an observation. I don't know what this means. Just something which is very intriguing to me. Chazal tell us that this dream, Vayhi Sam Yamim Cholim, took place exactly at the time when Yitzchak Avinu died. Yitzchak, they have different Ramazim. I don't have the Ramazim in front of me, different Ramazim in Pasek. That the day when Yitzchak Avinu died was the day when Paro had his dream, and the entire process began, and Yosef, which led to ultimately Yosef becoming Mishnah Melech, and Yosef meeting his brothers, and Yaakov coming down to Mitzrayim. So I don't know the significance, but just
chronologically, it's the year.
It had to be the year.
It's 180
80 years. 180 years.
It's 180 years at this point.
You make 30. The calculation.
So
this
would be Pesach time.
It would possibly fine. So it would be possibly.
Nice.
The beginning of Mitzrayim. He left Mitzrayim. But Chazal tells us the Chazal that he left Rosh Hashanah. Yosef was Yosef in Mitzrayim. Edus be Yosef Shem Mitzayim. Eretz Mitzrayim. There's a Chazal that he left. That he was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah. Also, the different stages and how he was released. It wasn't necessarily released in one shot. There were different stages and how he was released. Okay, so whatever. Okay, but it appears that Yitzchak Avinu, this dream took place at the time when Yitzchak Avinu died. Now, I'm just saying this as an observation. Just saying this, throwing this out, an interesting idea. There's always this talk that you say to a person, Menachem Avil, Le'aleinu, you say to them, you should be a Melitz Yosher. That the Nifter and Shemayim should do something for you, right? We have no idea what this means. Whatever that means, and the Shema there has some influence, has some ability, he should go to Shemayim and accomplish something for you. Who does the person, does the Neshama attempt to accomplish for the most? His children or his grandchildren? So L'chor the children. Children come first. The father has a closer relationship with his children than with his grandchildren. Who at this point in time was suffering more? Yaakov or Yosef? For sure Yaakov. Yosef was in jail, he was in prison. We don't know exactly what his conditions were, but it doesn't necessarily seem that it was the end of the world. He had good conditions in the prison. The one that was really suffering the most was Yaakov.
Wasn't in solitary
confinement. He was the leader, he was in charge. He had Sarara in prison. Obviously, he was not able to fulfill his potential to be in society. Hey, we don't exactly know. Obviously, he wanted to be released. He was begging the Sar Hamashkin, get me out of here. But the one that we know for sure had great Tsar was Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was in mourning. He refused to find comfort because his son was still alive. Subconsciously, he knew he was still alive. He had tremendous Tsar. It's interesting that the day that his father died, Yitzchak, the father of Yaakov, died, is the day when the process began where Yaakov Avinu would find Nechama. Yaakov, the son of Yitzchak, the process began that he would find comfort. Comfort that he would be reunited with his son. Yaakov would be reunited. Vatichi ruach Yaakov aviyam. Yaakov would come down not much later, shortly thereafter. Yosef was elevated to become Mishnah LeMelech. It was 10 years in the coming. It wouldn't happen right away. But the process of now Yosef being released from prison, being appointed to a state of authority, then resulting in the brothers coming down, and Yosef was seeing his brothers. And that was the process of now bringing their father down to Mitzrayim, where the pasuk says, "Vatichi ruach Yaakov aviyam," and the last years of his life were the best years of his life. So, this is very interesting: is that with the petira of Yitzchak, Yitzchak was a melech yosha. His son Yaakov was suffering very much. He was far away from his own son Yosef. He had no rest. And then with the petira of Yitzchak, it now began the process which would allow Yaakov Avinu to find comfort, to once again be happy in being reunited with his son Yosef. Yeah?
Two comments. One, I had read that Yitzchak knew Yosef was alive.
But he didn't tell him.
He didn't tell him.
He was not able.
Second of all, is this Midah and Vida that 22 years.
Yes, Chazal say that he was away. Correct.
Enoch
Nami.
Now has died.
Correct. That's Ayin Panim L'Torah. It's not a contradiction to this idea. I just want to point out, it's just very interesting, is that with his death, things happen, things change. We always say this when we go to be Menachem Avil people. We always say, no, it's a horrible tragedy that happened, but there has to be a silver lining, and the silver lining is that the neshama is in a much better place, and in that better place, he'll do things for you, he'll protect you, he'll assist you in having you accomplish what your purpose is in this world, whatever that means. We don't know what these things mean. And it's just interesting to see that here this actually happened. We have over here Yitzchak. Yitzchak dies. When Yitzchak died, the tragedy of the time was Yaakov Avinu was living a life of mourning. The Ruach HaKodesh departed from Yaakov Avinu because he was in mourning over the loss of his son Yosef. And now, with the petira of Yitzchak, all of a sudden, everything starts changing. A whole process begins. It wasn't obviously a very pleasant process. No one wanted such a process of all this tsar of the brothers going, there's a famine, the brothers going down, Shimon is abducted, he makes demands for Binyamin, and so on and so forth. But it did, in the big picture of things, begin the process where Yaakov was reunited with his son Yosef, and the tsara that he was living through was taken away with the words Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this expression when Yosef meets his brothers for the first time, they bow down, he remembers the dreams, and he puts them in prison. He says, "You're Meraglim, you are evildoers. You represent the axis of evil. We're going to imprison you." And he locks them up. He comes back after a couple of days. And let me read you the words of the pasuk. Very interesting what he says. After a few days, he complains. Ki erev asaretz basim liros vayemu shneimos avodecha achim anachnu, so on and so forth. He locks them up.
You're up to chamishi, right?
Perek membeis pasuk yudches. Okay, vayesoif oisam el mishmar shloshes yamim. Then he comes out. After 3 days, he comes out and he says to them, "Vayom aleihem Yosef bayom hashlishi zos asu v'chiyu. The following thing you shall do and you will live. Es ho Elokim ani yarei. I fear Hashem. Don't worry. I fear Hashem. I saw in a Sefer, I don't remember which Sefer, I think I saw this in name of the Mechaber is Rabbi Shane from I think that's where I saw it. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it's in a different Sefer. He's a Rebbe in MTJ. It's in Shiva, Staten Island. Staten Island. Rosh Yeshiva in Staten Island. Reuven Feinstein is Rosh Shiva. And he says, there's a famous Chazal, Shimon Huam Suni, darshaned all of the essence Sheba Torah. And every time it says S, it's Bola Rabbis. Until he came to S, Hashem Elokecha Tira, you shall fear Hashem. And he said to himself, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, is there any other thing you can possibly fear? Ridiculous. Can't be. Therefore, it must be that the word S is not meant to be darshaned. I have Charata on all of the S that I darshaned. The Talmidim said, Rebbe, can you do that? Can you go and give back your PhD? Can you go and undo what you've done? Yeah. Keshem shekibalti schar al hadrisha kach kibalti kibal kibal al mimkabel schar al aprish. Okay, until Rabbi Akiva came along, Rabbi Akiva said, "No, there's also a valid drush for es Hashem Elokei Chatira lerabos talmidei chachamim. There is such a thing that Yeshua fear talmidei chachamim. Gadil chachamim Torah Yisrael v'raisi to the Kodesh Baruch Hu chatu. If someone learns Torah, you are connecting to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You're a chilek me'elokai mimal, and you are deserving a darga of yira." Question is, Rabbi Shane asks, what happened when Shimon Hamsuni came to the Pasuk here in Parshas Mikes when he says to the brothers, Es hu Elokim ani yore. What is the S? It's the same S. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. The same way he had a problem, and that's all the way that appears in Parshas, where we're in the middle of Devarim. There he had no problem there until that he was cruising along just fine. How did he get past Parshas Mikates where it says Es Ho Elokim Ani Yare? So he goes off in a very fascinating discussion that the word S does not always mean and. It Targum translates S in one of three ways. The common translation S means Yos. Yos Hashem Elokecha Tira. Shimon Ham Suni only had a problem when the word S is translated by the Targum as Yos. That's where he made the drasha. But sometimes S is translated different. And for indeed, in this Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, V'am Alohon Yosef B'yomo Tilisa Do Avidu v'iskayamu min kodam. S is not translated by the Targum as yos. It's translated min kodam. From before Hashem, before God, I fear. I fear God. Yos doesn't mean also. Yos means there's a primary object and then there's a secondary. That's yos. S, when it's translated, when Yah and S is translated min, it means from before God, I am afraid. When I stand in the presence of God, that's not a problem. You don't have any difficulty in darshing the word. There's no drush. There's nothing to darshan. And he gives other examples. I don't have all the examples in front of me, but he goes through Chumash and he shows that the word S can be translated one of three ways. Either it means min, or what I said over here means, here it means, yeah, that's a yas, and here it means min, yas is another word, im. Okay, I don't remember, there are different translations. Okay, that's the simple interpretation. However, I want to say a drush. And the drush is, what Yosef is saying is, it doesn't answer the kasha, how Shimon HaMasuni got the parashas re'eh without going through this, but it is related. What Yosef really is saying to his brothers are, do you want me to respect you? You've come here to a foreign land. You're playing games. You all came into different entry points. What are you trying to hide? Why don't you come together? You're playing games. There's something wrong here. Your behavior appears to be as if you are Meraglim. And you're telling me, no, we're children of one father. Our father is the holy Yaakov. We're tzaddikim. He goes on to say in the next pasuk, if you're really kenim atem, if you're really upright people, the word kenim is a very powerful word. Kenim means people of stature, then you know what? Let's test. Let me test you. Let me take one of your brothers. Let me take Shimon. Let me put him away here in Egypt, and you go back to your father, and you bring me your other brother, and then we'll see that you're really what you're saying is really the truth. He introduces his demands that they prove their integrity. They prove that they are honest people with the words "Es Ho Elokim Ani Yare," by saying to them, "I fear God. I'm a Yare Shemayim, and you know what? Not only do I fear Hashem, es lerabos talmidei chachamim. I have the greatest respect for talmidei chachamim. Es lerabos talmidei chachamim. And if you are talmidei chachamim, I will have respect for you. I will honor your request. I will talk to you as I talk to a talmid chacham. The only problem is, I don't see here talmidei chachamim. I see people here playing games. You want respect? I'll give you respect. But you have to behave like a Talmud Chacham. You have to be true Talmidei Chachamim. So when he's saying Es Olekim Ani Yorei, you know what he's really saying? He's not putting the spotlight on himself. How does the average person read this pasuk? Yosef comes and says, the brothers come, "Oh, Es Olekim Ani Yorei, I fear God. Therefore you have nothing to worry about. Ma'in Zelazeh." Who cares what? They have what to fear. What is he telling them about his religious belief? That's not what he's telling them. He's telling them, "I have respect for you. You worry that I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna put you in a dungeon. I'm gonna harm you. I'm not gonna harm you. I have respect for you. Forget about me. I fear God, and what comes with fearing God? Es lerabos talmidei chachamim. Look at you. Satmer books. They show the brothers. They have beard and payas. Right? We are bekesha. It's the farish." They had that's
fights between their brothers.
You know? They that's you tell me they chachamim. That's the message. The message, it goes hand in hand with the next words in Kenim Atem. I have respect for you. Just make sure you behave like Talmidei Chachamim and everything will. It's a powerful Musar Haskel for us, is that if we want people to have respect for us, we have to behave like Talmidei Chachamim, and then with all that comes with being a true Talmid Chacham. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in this after they go further in the parasha, and the brothers come before Yosef. Okay, 1 second. Avol Hashemim anachnu, alochinu, asherinu, esaras nafshei b'chanu eleinu. Let me just find the pasuk in the context where it appears.
First time they.
Okay. Puts them in prison. Here it is. Okay. When they come down, Yosef accuses them of being liars, and he says to them, "Im kenim an atem achichem echad yoser beveis mishmarchem v'atem luchu haviu shev revon babtotichem." And one of your brothers has to be imprisoned here in order until you come back with your brother Binyamin. So how do the brothers respond? Indeed, we are guilty. They speak to each other. They speak in Hebrew. They think that Yosef does not know what he's saying. Alochinu, what are we guilty? Hashem here is punishing us. Mida k'neged mida. We're guilty. We had a brother. His name was Yosef. We had no compassion upon him. We murdered him. We threw him into a pit. We sold him off as a slave. Alochinu asherinu et saras nafsho behis chanina yelenu, when he supplicated before us. V'lo shamanu alkein boho elenu hatzara hazos. Okay. If the pasuk would have stopped there, we would have been very happy. And then something extremely bizarre happens in the next pasuk. Vayan Ruvein oisam lemar. Ruvein speaks up and he says, "Didn't I tell you? Haloi, amarti aleichem lemar, al techetu vayeled v'loy shematem. I told you not to do this. I told you so. V'gam damo hine nidrash." What in the world is Ruvein doing? Adding salt to their injury. They acknowledge their guilt. Avol Hashemim anachnu, alochinu asherinu tzaras nafsho. All of a sudden, Reuven rubs it in. Didn't I tell you? This is not the way the Shifte Kah behave. Maybe this is how children would behave. Someone has a tzara, and someone else comes along and says, yeah, Taka, you deserve it. You have a tzara, and you confess your sins, and you come along. If someone would do this today, they would be in a lot of trouble. If someone would come to shul and would say, oh, Rahman al-Tzai, I have a very big tzara at home, and you know, I deserve it. I did a very big avera. That's why this happened. And someone would chime, yeah, that's right, you deserve it. Good for you. Good, you have a tzara. You did the avera, good for you. What? It doesn't make one word of sense. This is not the way people talk. We don't talk like this today, and certainly the Shifte Kah would not speak this. So how do we make sense out of these two psukim? So I saw Vart. It's not exactly the way I saw it, but this is how I interpreted the idea. Is the brothers confess their sin. They confess to a major, major crime. Take their own brother, they throw him into a pit, and the brother is crying to them, please have mercy on me, I did nothing to you, I'm sorry. They don't care. Cold-hearted brothers take him and throw him into a pit full of snakes, and then the next merchants come along on the road, they sell him to the merchants, and there he goes off as a slave. It's a horrible, horrible crime. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10 plus. And now, years later, 22 years later, they reflect upon what they've done in their youth, and they confess. Oh, and that's taka why we're going to suffer now. We're going to suffer our fate. Reuven says to them, Rabbeisai, you're making a big mistake. When you confess your sins and you do tshuva, it's not enough to confess for the major crimes. The major crime is memela. That's easy. A person has a criminal record. It's easy to confess for the major crimes. Real tshuva is when you confess for the little sins. You think now that by confessing, Asher avol Hashem manachnu alachinu asher inu tzoras nafsho. Wow, that's serious business. Tzoras nafsho bischan lo yelenu v'lo yishamanu. It's a major crime. Reuven says, you want to do tshuva? You have to do tshuva even if you would not have cried. In other words, there were two sins that were done. There was a major crime, but it was a minor crime. He was a yeled. And you just don't do this to a person. You don't, even if. I'm hammering. I'm not expressing the idea. Even if this would not have been a major crime, it was still at least a minor crime. In other words, let's say Luyitsuya Yosef would have been as guilty as sin. As guilty as sin, he would have been a serial murderer, and he would have been deserving of this punishment. And the issue of Tzoras nafshoi bischananoi eleinu would not have been an issue. Right, we have a murderer, a serial murderer. He's taken out to be executed, and he's crying and screaming, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Does that have any relevance? No, you're guilty of sin. We don't care about your... We move from the equation that tzoras nafshoi bischananoi eleinu, we move that from the equation. Look at what you did. What you did was you sold a yelet, a child to a father for a crime he didn't commit. You're focusing on the wrong part of the sin. Let me try to explain it this way. They sinned. What did they do? They took their brother, they threw him into a pit, and they decided they're going to kill him. Do you have harata on that? Reuven says to his brothers, obviously not. The only thing you're having harata on is the cruelty that you showed him when he was crying in the pit for mercy. He's in the pit, he's crying for mercy, we see his tzoras nafshei, bischan lo yelenu, and we decided not to listen. That's what you have charata on. But do you have charata for what led to this? The sin aschinon between you and him that led to this situation where you threw him into a pit, and if he would have been sleeping and not been crying and expressing his tzoras nafsho, and you could have easily shipped him out off to Egypt without any problem, that you're not having charata from. The only thing you're having charata from is from the cruelty, is the way you executed him, the way you got rid of him. You got rid of him in the most cruel fashion. That you're having charata on. That's nonsense. That's not tshuva. That's not going to save you. In order to do tshuva, you have to have charata on the little things that you've done wrong, which brought you into this matzav of the major crime. That's the words of his response. Vayan ruvina sam leimar. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Halayamarti aleichem leimar. Al techetu vayela. What's techetu? Techetu is shoigeg. There is chet. What is chet? There is chet, avon, pesha, different expressions of sin. They're saying, avol ashamim anachnu. We're guilty. Asham is a guilt offering for a major transgression. That's the connotation here. For amaze it. You're making a mistake. Don't focus on the major crime of not having more mercy upon this child that's screaming. Have charata on the chet, on the inadvertent sin, which you're not paying attention on, the sin aschinim in the beginning of our lives, which led to a matzav which you sold into Egypt. Al techetu vayeled. Yeled means the infant, the child. Yeled in contrast to Yosef. When Yosef was sold, he was 17 years old. Is that called a yeled? Possibly yes, but in the connotation here is, he's already an adult. He was already an ish, already... A nar, he was a nar, so a nar is a much higher madre, is an adult.
An adolescent.
So don't have charat, don't only do tshuva on the time of his life when he was a nar. You have to do tshuva on your inadvertent sins when he was a yeled in his youth. That led to a matzav of outright hostility and hatred and war, which brought you to this cruel act of selling him as a slave to Mitzrayim v'lo shamatem. And that's why v'gam domo hinei nidrash. The Musar Haskel is, he's not saying I told you so. He's saying something very profound. He's telling the brothers, your tshuva is not going to help. You're here, you're doing tshuva, you're clapping al chet, chotosi, avisi, pashati, you're misguided. You're doing tshuva for the wrong sin. It's true. You're doing tshuva, you're cruel. But in order for Hashem to accept the tshuva, you have to be oiker from the shoroshim, from the roots, the cause of the sin, which goes back all the way to the tkufa of Yaldus, and goes back to the tkufa when it wasn't outright hatred. It was chet, just a lack of avaschinam. There was sin aschinam, which grew and developed and turned into this terrible thing. That's the message Reuben is giving his brothers. He's not just telling them, I told you so. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to idea relating to Chanukah. Chanukah, everyone, all of the Darshanim are searching out of desperation to find in this week's parasha a remez to Chanukah. So there are hundreds of these remezim, Utzvayach Tevach V'Hochein, and what Miketz, Shnosayim, Rashi Tevis, of all these different expressions in the Al-Hanisim. I saw something in a sefer called Nitzotzei Torah by Rabbi Perlow, and he quotes a kuntris, or maybe a sefer, something that was said from the Baba Vareba. The Baba Vareba, Rav Shlomo, an idea. And I want to just pick up on that idea to find something relating to Chanukah, not just relating to Chanukah, not just the remez, but a whole new appreciation for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So the gist, the Mar Mokoyim of the Baba Vareba comes from Yosef's first encounter with his brother Binyamin. Later in the parasha, towards the end of the parasha, Yosef finally meets Binyamin. Binyamin comes down with his brothers. Yaakov agrees, come down, and he sees Binyamin. And he says, Vayomer hashalom avichem hazokein asher amartem hoidem choy, Vayomer shalom avducha lavinu odin choy, Vayiktu vishtachlu vayisreinaf. Vayares Binyamin. Ochiv Benimoy, he sees his brother for the very first time. Not for the very first time. Pasuk Chavtes, Perek Mem Gimel. Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Chavtes. Vayisa ino, Vayares Binyamin, Ochiv Benimo. Vayomer, Hazeh Achichem Hakoton Asher Amartem Eloi. Is this your younger brother, the one that I asked about? And the answer is obviously yes. Vayomar, Yosef responds, Elokim Yochnecha Bini. May Hashem show you grace. And Rashi explains the simple meaning of the pasuk, all of the other brothers were already blessed with chayin. Words of Rashi are pasuk of tes b'shar shvatim shamanu chanina asher chanan elokim esav decha. Yaakov said to Esav, these are my children, the children which have received chayin. The only one that did not yet have the bracha of chayin was Binyamin. Binyamin was not born at the Pegisha. When Yaakov met Esav, Rachel was still alive. So Yaakov, Binyamin was not yet born at that point in time. Binyamin was the only one that was not included in the words of Yaakov when Yaakov said, Asher chanan elokim Esav decha. Now Yosef, for the very first time, he blessed him with the bracha of Elokim Yachmecha Bini. Okay, before I go further, tell you the var, it's always good to tell you a joke. Well, not really a joke, but one of the darshanim says, why did he say, is this hakaton? You told me you have a little brother. Is this what you call little? He's a great man. I can see just by looking at him that he's a gadol. Hazeh achichem hakaton? How dare you call him a katon?
Rabbi doesn't say this is a joke. He says that's what he gives shot. This is, he has 10 sons already.
Has 10
this
sons. A katan. A katan. He's a big boy. Man. He's a big boy. But also, besides, he's a big in age. It means that he's a. I can see from his tzura, his hadras panim, he's an ish godol. He's a great man. Hazeh achichem hakaton? How dare you call him the katon? Okay, that's one of the reasons this ties very well into Yaakov was very suspicious of his brothers, that he could not reveal himself to them. That was the old frustrating question, why did Yaakov reveal himself to Yosef, reveal himself many years? It's only a few days distance. He couldn't send a letter to Yaakov Avinu. So the men of Farshman is because he was afraid that if he would send a letter to Yaakov, the brothers would kill Binyamin. Because the hatred would overflow to the next chosen child, who was Binyamin. And this, he seemed to confirm this when they keep on calling him Katon, according to the Barbanel, according to this idea that the brothers keep on referring to Binyamin, that he's just the Katon, the smallest one. So simply means he's youngest in age. Youngest in age. But why do you refer to him with this derogatory term as being a Katon? Obviously, he suspected that they treated Binyamin second class. Because, and that's why he was very cautious not to do anything too quickly until he had a full assessment of what the situation was.
For
Binyamin. He took Binyamin, exactly. So a lot of these things come together.
They would have killed Binyamin.
That's what some of Farshim say. We don't know. He did not know what to expect.
He
wasn't home. He doesn't know. He didn't know what was going on. He did not know how they would relate. Yaakov would obviously transfer the love that he had for Yosef to Binyamin. How would the brothers react to that? How would that go off? He didn't know. He was away from home. He didn't know what to do. So he had to be extremely cautious until he had a full assessment of the situation. Okay, but anyway, going back to the parasha, he gives this beautiful bracha, Elokim Yachnecha Bini, may Hashem show you grace. Now, there's a very beautiful Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on this pasuk of Tes says, Vayisa Einov, he says to him, Vamar min kodom Hashem, from before Hashem, Yisrachem aloch biri, from before Hashem, may you receive mercy. May Hashem have mercy upon you. Now, I'm not exactly sure how the Baba Rebbe reads into the pasuk. It could be there's another targum Yerushalmi, which I don't have here in front of me. It could be that it's more elaborate. But the Baba Rebbe says that what Yaakov Avinu was doing here was he was saying that may the tefillah that you will recite in the next parsha be accepted. What does that all mean? Very mystical statement. If we go to Parshas Vayigash, and Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. V'lo yachol Yosef lehisapek l'chol hanitzavim alav. V'yikra ha'itziu cholish me'oloi. V'chulu v'chulu. He then reveals himself. And then Binyamin cries on the shoulder of Yosef. Yosef cries on the shoulders, b'loshon rabim, of Yosef. And Yosef cries on the shoulders, b'losh ram of Binyamin, and Binyamin cries on the shoulder of Yosef. Let me read you the words of the pasuk. Vayipol al tzavrei Binyamin achiv vayefk Uvinyamin bocha al tzavarav. Let me read you the words of Rashi. Pasuk Yudali bal tzavarav vinyamin achiv vayef al shnei mikdoshos. The day will come when there will be a bayis rishon and a bayis sheni built in the portion of Binyamin. This was not long ago in the Daf Yomi that the Beis Hamikdash is built in the chelik of Binyamin. There are going to be two batim mikdashos that are going to be built in the portion of Binyamin, and they're going to be destroyed. And Yitzchak Avinu, he saw this at this moment in time, and he cried. He cried over the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and that's why it's written Loshen Rabbim, the two necks. The Binyamin Bocha al Tzavarav. This is what is critical for what we need now. And Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef al Mishkan Shiloh. Binyamin saw at this moment in time al Piruach HaKodesh that there would be a Mishkan in Shiloh for 369 years. The day would come when it would be destroyed by the Pelishtim in the time of Eli HaKohen and his two sons Chofni uPinchas. It would be destroyed. She'osid, and at that moment in time the Aron was captured. It was captured by the Pelishtim. She'osid liyos b'chelkel shel Yosef. Shiloh is in Mishkan. Shiloh was built in the portion of Yosef. The Sofo Lecha and would one day be destroyed. And here, Binyamin is witnessing this, al Piruach HaKodesh, and he's crying over the neck of Yosef. Now, this is what the Baba Rebbe says of Shad in the Targum. It doesn't seem to be clear in the Targum. It could be he's referring to a Targum Yerushalmi, that when Yosef says to Binyamin, Elokim Yochnecha Bini, may Hashem have mercy upon you. May Hashem be mekabel your tefillos of he's crying. He's going to cry later on as well in the next parasha, and may Hashem accept your prayer. Now, what exactly does that mean? If Mishkan Shiloh, what is Binyamin going to cry? Binyamin is going to cry over the Churban of Shiloh. He's going to cry. Yosef is asking Hashem accept those tefillos. What's to accept? What's going to happen? What does Yosef expect? Shiloh is going to be rebuilt? It wasn't rebuilt. Shiloh was destroyed. When Shiloh was destroyed, the Aron was captured. Where did the Mishkan travel? Go next? Nov, Givon. After Nov, Givon, where did it go next? The Beis Hamikdash. It was never rebuilt. So what then do you mean? What do you want to be accepted? It was a cry of mourning. What do you expect? One thing, if you cry, you want it to be built based on English, we could understand. Binyamin is Yosef is crying over the neck of Binyamin about the Churban Bayis Rishon. What was the tefillah that he was mourning, but it should be rebuilt? The Bayis Sheni was destroyed. In Yiratz Hashem, the Bayis Sheni will be rebuilt in the form of the Bayis Shalishi. So what does exactly it mean that Shiloh is going to be rebuilt? Shiloh is not going to be rebuilt. So you'll answer me simply that Shiloh will not be rebuilt, but its Kedusha will be transferred into the Beis HaMikdash, into Noiv, given in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the simple interpretation. When you cry and you mispalel, Hashem listens, and something happens. Things happen. In the future, things are different. The difference is, the Mishkan will be rebuilt in the time of the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni with Noiv Given, so on and so forth. Okay, that's one interpretation. But I want to say something a little bit different. Shiloh had a Mila that did not exist in the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. What was the Mila? A person can eat. Let me just give it first in its raw form, and then we'll try to elaborate. A person is allowed to eat Kachim as far as he can see Shiloh. There's a halacha when it comes to Kachim Kalim. You're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim in the walls of Yerushalayim. Once there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was Yerushalayim. Kachim Kodashim can only be eaten within the walls of the Azara. But Kachim Kalim, Karban Shlamim, Karban Toida, and all that are in the category of Shlamim, you can eat within the walls of Yerushalayim. Let's say you go leave Yerushalayim and you stand on top of a mountain and you can see the Beis HaMikdash, but you're outside the walls of the old city. Can you eat the Kachim Kalim? No. Sanctity is limited to Makom, geography. Either you're over the red line or you're on the other side of the red line. You gotta be within the boundaries. These were the rules of the Bayis, Rishon Bayis Sheni. Shiloh had a unique set of rules. As long as you can see the Mishkan, you can eat kachin. If you are 50 miles away, and you can stand on a hill, and you can see the Mishkan of Shiloh, you're connected to the Mishkan, and you're allowed to eat kachin kalim.
There was no Yerushalayim.
Kilei bosim adata el ha-menucha v'el ha-nachla. They come from different expressions. The Beis HaMikdash is called Nachala. Inheritance. Inheritance is geography, land, boundaries, borders. Menucha is rest. You don't have to rest only in a specific piece of land. You can rest anywhere. You can rest in America. You can rest in Hawaii. Any place where you find yourself in a state of rest, that's called Nachala, that's called Menucha. This was given specifically to the Baruch of Yosef. Yosef did not, and the Medrash says, Yosef did not look at what he should not have been looking at. Did not look at Eshes Potiphar. He refused to look at Eshes Potiphar. She tried to torture him. At least if you don't, he didn't want to be with her. In an intimate way, he demanded of Yosef at least to look at her. And even that Yosef refused to. Chazal tell us in reward for not looking what he was not supposed to look at, that when the Mishkan will be built in his portion, the rules of the Mishkan would follow. Re'iyah, if you can see his Mishkan, you're considered to be associated with the Mishkan of Yosef. And if Shiloh, you're allowed to eat Kadoshim. This was the Mishkan of Shiloh. Shiloh was destroyed. After Shiloh was destroyed, the Mishkan moved to Gnoiv and Gimel, then to the Beis HaMikdash. Was there ever reinstituted this halacha, this takana of Re'iyah, that you could associate with the Beis HaMikdash through the koyach of Re'iyah? The answer is no. It never happened again. How could it never have happened again? But Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. And in this week's parsha, Yosef was mispalul Elokim, Yachnecha b'ni, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachmanis on you. May the rachamim that you will bring up before the Kisei HaKavod over the Churban of Shiloh, may it be accepted. Are we going to say that the tefillah of Yosef was rejected? Impossible. It can't be rejected. But when was it ever fulfilled? Once Shiloh was shut down, and the tekuf of Menucha came to an end, we don't find in history it ever being reinstated. And the answer is it was reinstated. When? Chanukah, this is the drush, this is a drush, a chiddush. Chanukah is the rebuilding of Mishkan Shiloh within the Beis HaMikdash. What is Chanukah? Chanukah, you light the menorah. What does the menorah produce? Or. What is or? Or is Re'iyah. What happens if you don't plan on lighting the menorah? Can you participate in the mitzvah? It is the only mitzvah, in all of the mitzvahs, in the entire Shulchan Aruch, if I'm not mistaken, where you can participate in the mitzvah just through sight. If you're not planning on lighting a menorah, and you pass someone else's menorah, someone else's halakas haneros, you can make the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvah sivanu lahalik ner shel. We're not allowed to come down lahalik. There's different nusach on seeing the menorah. Haroah, two brachas. You make two brachas. You make the bracha of the neros and a bracha for she'asa nitzim. It is the only mitzvah. Haroya oimer shtayim hamadlik makes the shachianu as well, but haroya makes the brachas. The person who sees the neros. The person who's shasani, the bracha shasani, you see the neros, you make a bracha. There's a din of re'iyah. What is re'iyah? Where does that come from, the koyach of re'iyah? The koyach of re'iyah comes from Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh was the Mishkan where you associate, you connect to the Mishkan through the koyach of re'iyah. The menorah, where is the menorah stored? Where is the menorah located in the Beis HaMikdash? In the private quarters, in the Heichal. No one sees it. No one sees the menorah being lit. It's locked up. How do we commemorate the nace that the neros lasted for 8 days? Every single person in their home lights a menorah. By looking at your menorah, by looking at your neros chanukah in your home, you are connecting yourself, a zecher lemigdash, to the Beis HaMikdash. But I'm not in Yerushalayim at this moment in time. I'm far, far away. I'm in Chutz Liaretz. I can't even physically see Yerushalayim. It doesn't matter. Through your koyach hari'iyah of looking at the nearest Chanukah in your home, anywhere in the world, you are automatically connecting yourself to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. This is what Chanukah is all about. The nearest of Chanukah, or all a zecher for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And where are we doing that in the entire world? Through the koyach hari'iyah. Through the koyach hari'iyah, we are connecting to the Beis HaMikdash. Where does it come from, koyach hari'iyah? It comes from Shiloh. What was Shiloh called? Kilei basim arata el haminucha. What is minucha? Rest. Ve'niach Hashem lochem. Hashem, the pasuk says, will give you rest from your enemies. The Bayis Sheni was built by who? By Paras. By Modai. They participated. Well, first came Modai. Modai came to an end. Paras. Then came the Yevonim. We had no minucha. The first 250 years of the Bayis Sheni wasn't Menucha, it was Nachala. Okay, the Bayis Rishon, okay, well, there was autonomy, it was destroyed. But what happened to the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Sheni, there was no Menucha under foreign control. When the Yevonim, when the Chashmonaim prevailed over the Yevonim, that was a very short, there was a period of time in the Dalet Golios where there was a break. In between Golus Yavon and Golus Edom, there was a tkuf, a period of time where Klal Yisrael had autonomy. They were independent. It was an independent government. We were not under the Shlita, not of Yavon, and not yet under Edom. We had Menucha. And who was the one who brought about the miracle? It was the Kohanim. Not Shevet Yehuda, but the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim. Who were the ones that were the cause of the Churban of Shiloh? The Kohanim. What did Shmuel say to Eli? Eli was the Kohen Gadol, and his two sons were in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were corrupt. They were corrupt in dealing with the Korbanos. They were corrupt in dealing with the Noshim, with Arayos. They were corrupt. The Kohanim were corrupt. Who was the one that was Mesakein the Chet of the Kohanim from the time of Shiloh? Shiloh was hard because of the Kohanim, not because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. The sins of it was corruption among the Kohanim. Who was the one that was instrumental in bringing about the miracle of Chanukah? It was the Chashmonaim. It was the Kohanim. It was Zelu Mazeh. And what is the miracle? What did we introduce into the Beis HaMikdash with the miracle with Chanukah? Halakas Haneros. Ner produces or. Or is for the eyes. Wherever you are in the world, Halakas Haneros, you connect to the Beis HaMikdash with the Koyach Hari'iyah. We've brought into the Beis HaMikdash Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan, the Kedusha, or the element of Mishkan Shiloh, the element of Menucha and Re'iyah of Mishkan Shiloh has once again been reinstated within the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. This was the Tefillah of Yosef. Yosef said to Binyamin, you will one day cry on my neck. You are going to cry over the Churban of Shiloh, the loss of Menucha, the loss of Re'iyah, connecting to Hashem through the Koyach of Re'iyah. Halavai Elokim Yochnecha B'ni, may Hashem have rachamim. When you cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may He accept your tefillah, and may that tefillah result in Shiloh being rebuilt. Where will it be rebuilt? It will be rebuilt at the time of Chanukah, when the Chashmonaim, the same people who are responsible for the Churban of Shiloh, when they will come forward, and they will be Moser Nefesh to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but not just rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, what was existed until that point in time, but to introduce into the Beis HaMikdash the Koyach of the Menorah, Re'iyah, and bring Menucha for Klal Yisrael. So here L'Chor is a little remez for the Yom Tov of Chanukah in this week's parasha. And it brings out a new idea that Chanukah is the rebuilding of Shiloh within the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, with that we'll stop. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Chanukah.